Joining us on Front and Center, and you've heard him before. He's a state senator, but he is also a business owner in Waterbury, owns Cartel, and that would be Rob Kane. Rob, welcome to Front and Center.
Dan, always a pleasure. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, let's talk about your business. First, give our audience an overview.
Yeah, so I got into this business in late 80s, early 90s. I walked into a job interview that, quite honestly, I didn't even want. It was a sales commission only type of thing, you know, and I really wasn't looking to get into it, but happened to be the only guy who showed up with a suit and a resume, and I got the job. That was back in the day, Dan, if you remember, when they were car phones, and we used to go knock on people's doors and tell them what a car phone was. I remember walking the Naugatuck Industrial Park, knocking on businesses' doors, telling them about this new product and how they can call their clients from their car. And it was pretty neat. And so then after a few years with the company I worked for, I said, you know, I can do this on my own, and reached out and found a franchise called Cartel. And we spell it with a K just to be a little bit different, you know. And it's car telephone, if you sound it out. And so in 94, I opened my business. I had probably $5,000 in my pocket and probably not much of a clue what I was doing. But, you know, 22 years later, here we are.
Well, let's fast forward to 22 years later. Could you do now what you did then as far as starting a business?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't think so. I mean, I think the certainly the economy has changed, but more importantly, Connecticut has changed, and it is so very hard to be a small business owner in Connecticut. I mean, the onerous things that we have to go through, you know, the burdens, the regulations, just the paperwork that is necessary, it's just very difficult. And, you know, you hear this all the time, you know, from small businesses that, you know, I deal with, that, you know, there's too many people in your pocket, so to speak, and government certainly is the biggest one. It's just very, very difficult. But back then, it was much easier, and, you know, you had a relationship with the phone company, and you call them up and say, I want this telephone number, or I want to, you know, do this or that. It was much easier, but it certainly, relationships have changed over those years.
So you start the business. What do you remember about those early days? How, for example, were you able to attract potential consumers?
You know, I did everything. You know, I'm certainly a member of the Waterbury Chamber of Commerce. We created a Wolcott Street Lakewood Road Business Association where my business is located, and just, you know, the proverbial saying of pounding the pavement. You know, when you're in business, you can't wait for people to come in your door. You really need to go out and find it. Since then, I belong to a networking group called ProfNet, which is a professional networking group where you have one person from each type of industry allowed in the group. So similar to civic organizations, except we're specifically there to give leads to one another. So, for example, there's one travel agent, Senate Travel in Waterbury. There's one attorney. There's one florist, you know, that type of thing. So we're there to give leads to one another every week and try to think of one another when we're promoting our business. So, you know, the advice I would give to small business owners is go out and hustle, because you can't just wait for it and expect people are just going to come through your door.
Well, that's great advice. I mean, if you're going to get into a business and you're going to be a small business owner, you've got to get out and network. You have to be seen, because, as you said, it's not going to come to you. And that wouldn't matter whether you were in Connecticut or in Florida, I would think.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, certainly, you know, businesses have changed now, you know, with Google and Yelp and all the online stuff. But, you know, back then when I started, it was all about relationships. So if you said to me, you know, hey, Rob, who do you use for a mechanic, or who do you use for a plumber or a carpenter? You know, those people were coming through my door, and I had relationships with those people, and you can recommend people to one another. And that's how it started. You know, now, you know, I have all those people that I dealt with for years. Now their kids are coming in and saying, hey, my dad bought his phone from you, or, you know, that kind of thing. So that's how it's worked for me, is greatly with word of mouth and with networking. You know, we were small at the time. We're still a small business, certainly, but we didn't have the marketing budget of a larger company. So we had to go out and pound the pavement ourselves, so to speak.
Now, and we're talking with Rob Kane. He's a state senator, but he's also the owner of Cartel in Waterbury, and he has been the owner for 22 years. because of the advancement in technology, Rob, you've had to transition your business. I mean, the days are gone when we used to plug those box phones into our motor vehicles, and now we all know how we communicate. But what did you do in order to transition your business?
Well, one of the things we found, Dan, and you know, this is not a knock on the carriers, but certainly this is happening in our industry, but probably in a lot of industries, and I'll give you examples. But you know, AT&T and Verizon and those companies, you know, as I told you in the beginning, they needed us as agents to go out and tell people what a car phone was. At some point, they realized, whoa, we can do this ourselves, and started opening up their own stores. And if you could walk through any mall, and you'll see a Verizon store, an AT&T store, T-Mobile, you name it. So they've kind of moved those agents out of the picture. And I think it's happening, unfortunately, in many areas. You know, I mentioned travel before. Look at insurance. You can go to Geico Direct or State Farm. They're all advertising directly rather than going through your local independent agent. So that's a scary prospect when it comes to small business, that you know, the larger companies realize that they can do it on their own and start direct selling. So when that happened, we started moving our product base, started to diversify into what we call 12-volt. And 12-volt is everything in the car. So we do much more than cell phones now. We do, you know, remote car starters and satellite radios and GPS navigation and tracking and, you know, cameras and, I mean, you name it, from soup to nuts, so to speak, and when it comes to electronic stuff in a vehicle, that's what we do. So we kind of saw the writing on the wall, what was taking place with the carriers, that we needed to move into a different direction, and that's how we've been able to stay alive.
What have you done to educate yourself on all of this technology?
You know, that's kind of neat. You know, we attend shows, of course, and the Consumer Electronics Show is the biggest one in January every year out in Las Vegas. We have local programs here. We certainly get email updates from our vendors, and we attend seminars with our vendors and stuff. But, you know, you see the products come in, and you have the direct sales reps certainly keep you in touch. But you just got to keep looking for new opportunities, because it gets harder and harder. You know, the scary proposition in my business, Dan, is today, these new cars are tomorrow's used cars. So years ago, you know, you had someone who bought a used car, and they say, you know, I got this car, but doesn't have this or this. You know, I'd like to add that, and they would come to me for that reason. Now, today's new cars are coming with a lot of those features, and it's going to be a scary proposition 5-10 years down the road when those become used cars and they already have everything in it. So you always got to keep looking for new products in order to keep it going.
Right now, for example, if somebody doesn't have a remote car starter and they want one installed in their motor vehicle, what should they know about that?
Well, first, you know, that's a great question. And if I can tie in my job as a state senator with my job in at cartel, I would say that the biggest frustration we have in our industry is regards to dealers and or manufacturers who give this false claim that if you put anything aftermarket in your car, you're going to void the manufacturer's warranty. And that's not true. In fact, there's a federal law called the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act that prohibits that. So using my knowledge in the industry and my position as a state senator, I was able to promote a bill that provides consumers with information. And that means that when you go purchase a new vehicle, you're going to get a paragraph during that sale process that shows the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, not just our industry, but, you know, picture the Pep Boys and the AutoZones of the world. They run into this problem as well, because their customers are told, no, you can't use that oil filter, or you can't use that product because, you know, you're going to void the warranty. That's not true. So we want to make consumers aware that there is a federal law that protects them from those type of, you know, arguments or positions that are being made. And so that's why we promoted this legislation. So it's very important that people understand their abilities as a consumer to use aftermarket products.
But I'm guessing there's also a right way and a wrong way as far as getting a car starter installed. So what should somebody know about that?
Yeah, well, and, you know, along those lines, there's in any industry, there's going to be bad actors, right? I mean, you know, you're going to have those, but those people don't last. And, you know, so obviously us being here 22 years proves that, you know, we kind of know what we're doing and we do a pretty good job and, you know, take care of the customer. I think that's the most important thing is, you know, today's cars are getting more electronics and more computer driven. It's almost making the installation easier now, because you're not going red wire, blue wire, green wire back in the day when you and I were working on our radios and our cars. Now you're plugging into a computer with a data connection, and you know we have parts that learn the vehicle, so it's kind of neat. But I think the most important thing is being reliable to your customers, and then backing up what you sell and making sure you take care of it if a problem arises.
Talking with Rob Kane on Front and Center. He's a state senator, as you know, but he is also the owner of Cartel in Waterbury. And we were talking about remote car starters, but does Cartel handle a motor vehicle's security? Can you install, for example, a security system?
Yeah, we do everything. I mean, it's kind of neat. One of the big things for us now, I just had a friend of mine whose mom and dad are getting up there in age, and the father, unfortunately, is starting to feel the effects of Alzheimer's, and we put a GPS tracking device in their vehicle because he's just afraid that, you know, one day they may wander off type of thing. And so he can literally monitor the car right off his cell phone. There's an app. We deal with a company called Viper who makes alarms and car starters. In fact, they're the largest manufacturer in the nation. The founder, it's called Directed Electronics. The founder is Daryl Issa, the congressman from San Diego, California. You probably heard of him.
Yep.
And so you can literally control your car right off your phone. You can lock it, you can unlock it, you can pop the trunk, you can track it. And that was kind of a neat little story that we're able to help this family because they're concerned about their mom and dad. So you can literally go on your app and see your car. So it's kind of neat. So there's all kinds of stuff that we do electronically off the new technology.
And I heard you say something before about cameras. Do you handle that in a motor vehicle as well?
Yeah, that's a big thing for us now. Certainly putting in backup cameras because people, you know, are looking to become more safe. We're getting into some of the technology as far as lane movement and sensors and all that type of stuff. You know, cars are just getting more and more safety conscious, and if some vehicles don't have these items, you know, a lot of people can save money when they come to us. For example, I don't know if the last time you bought a car, but you'll notice when they step you into this package to that package to that package, you have to take the entire package. So you could spend $3,000-$5,000 more on that particular model because you need one particular feature that comes with 30 of them. With us, you can buy that lower model and then still take advantage of those features aftermarket by putting it in with us later. So people will come in. They will buy backup cameras. They will buy remote car starters, like you mentioned. We do video. We do audio. We do, a lot of people want a connectivity. They want to connect their phone, especially kids. They don't buy CDs like you and I did. They've got all their music on their phone. They want to connect that through the radio. So all kinds of stuff that adds to the features. So people can save money by not necessarily taking the top-end model. They can take a middle-of-the-road model, let's say, and save some money on their monthly payment, and then come here and do that type of stuff.
And what you're saying is you can integrate this technology into a motor vehicle without it, for example, being intrusive, because obviously that's one of the selling points of a new vehicle with some of this technology.
Yeah, that's, and like I said, I mean, how much time, we spend so much time in our cars, and it's so important, that we're able to be connected to that vehicle. And, it's kind of neat that we are able to do that. So people want those type of things, so it's kind of nice. The good news right now is, gasoline prices are much lower. So people have a little bit of money to put into their vehicles. A couple of years ago, when gas prices were $4 a gallon, they weren't putting money into their cars because they had to put it in their tank. So, people want to be connected. They want to add these features, and it's kind of fun, for the kid and all of us who used to work on our cars years ago.
Now, what about smartphones? You still handle smartphones, right?
Yeah, I mean that's certainly something that we continue to do. We enjoy it. We really know the business pretty well. We have been doing it for so long that it's hard to get rid of us. but it's kind of nice. There's so many. just even myself. In being able to FaceTime with my kids, being able to text with my kids, people want that now. We lead such crazy lives. People are everywhere. Are we working longer? We work farther away from home. And so you want to be able to be in touch with your family. Your kids are traveling farther now. I mean, with travel teams in all sports, and they're all over the place. So you want to be able to have that connectivity. And that's kind of the neat thing. But these products put everything in one, you know, so you can have your music, your camera, your calendar, your contacts, your email. I mean, you can surf the web. You can watch videos. I mean, it's kind of neat, the progression. I just put a picture on Facebook or Twitter, wherever, the other day, which showed kind of the evolution of the phone, you know, and it was kind of neat, you know, these big clunky things you probably saw watching Lethal Weapon or Wall Street, the movie, you know, and then they've gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, and now we're going bigger and bigger again because they're devices that do so much. So it's kind of neat to watch the progression.
Well, and you know this being in the business, but you get a smartphone today. For example, I'm holding an iPhone in my hand, and I'm told that the technology that's packed into this iPhone is greater than the technology that was used in order to launch our first rocket to the moon, Rob.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing, you know. That, but what's driving that, Dan, is the market. You know, it's the consumer that says, you know, I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to add all these features. So that's what's kind of driving it. That's what makes it still fun, because there's always going to be something new to come along. You know, we're never going to stay, you know, it's not like making desks, I guess. I don't know if that's a good example or not, or Scotch tape. I mean, I don't think Scotch tape has changed in 100 years. You know, this is something that's going to continually to evolve.
Talking with Rob Kane, he is the owner of Cartel and Waterbury here on Front and Center, and I know you hear him a lot because he also is a state senator. Rob, you mentioned that, of course, people in the beginning of the year are always focused in your industry on the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Have you ever been to a CES?
I have, and it was a lot of fun. You know, you can only spend so many days in Las Vegas, as you may know. But no, it's a great show because it encompasses everything. So it's home, it's car, it's computers. I mean, it's really amazing show, and that's, it's exciting because, as I said earlier, there's always something new coming along. You know, we're always looking for new avenues and new products and being able to diversify. So, you know, for us, it's anything in the car. You name it, we can do it, you know. And so it's kind of neat. So, you know, so, yeah, I enjoy that. I really do. But, you know, there's always something new coming along. It's kind of fun.
So what's going to happen down the road? Like you said, you have to stay one step ahead of the technology game because it's constantly evolving and it's how you stay in business. What's coming down the road?
You know, first, like I said, it's all about connectivity. I think you're going to see some movement with text messaging. Even myself, I mean, Dan, you drive on the highway, you see so many people on their phones, and whether texting or looking at whatever, and there's going to be some with connectivity and being able to translate that phone into your radio so you're not holding that phone in your hand any longer. And I think, you know, speech to text type of stuff, and, you know, being able to monitor, you know, all those things that are going on right on the screen of your radio and get it off your eyes back on and forward in front of you rather than down, whether it be in your cup holder or what have you. So I think that's a big part of it. You know, that's really so very important because you're never going to get people off their phones or out of their cars. So I think you have to be able to make it a safer way. And I think that's what's coming along, is being able to, you know, add those features in through the process. You know, the radio is going to control everything. I mean, you're monitoring every bit of your car right through the radio. So it's kind of neat. So I think that's, you know, where it's going to continue to grow.
You know, Rob, you said something at the beginning of this interview that really resonates. You got the job because you showed up wearing a suit and tie and you brought a resume. And I would hope that that still resonates today. Talk a bit about that.
You know, it is hard. I mean, certainly, you know, the cost of doing business is rising for a lot of businesses. You know, people, you know, are looking for different opportunities. In my business, you know, I'm kind of, I consider myself a breeding ground for other things, because people come in, we'll get a younger person typically as our employees. They come in, they get a good experience, they learn a lot, make a few bucks, and then they move on to something else. And I think we're one of those type of businesses, you know, you can be a breeding ground and get people a good experience, good knowledge, learn, you know, the philosophy I was telling you about good customer service and about being owning the issues that may arise and never, you know, leading people in the wrong direction. It's always going to come back to you tenfold. So I think, that's where you get a lot of that from small business. I don't know, you know, people, a lot of times we want to talk about the large corporations, but, you know, the small businesses are the ones who are supporting your Boy Scouts, your Girl Scouts, your community theater, your baseball teams, your softball teams, you know, you name it, you know, and we're always out there, you know, supporting our schools and what have you. So I like to, think of myself as someone who's been given people opportunity to come in, learn, and make some money, and then, of course, move on to their own careers.
From where you sit in the state legislature, what can the state of Connecticut do to make operating a small business in Connecticut less cumbersome?
Well, first of all, you know, a lot of times we see mandates that just continually drive up the cost, and the people in state government and certainly probably in federal government as well just try to interject themselves in the free market. And I think that's wrong. And I think, you know, so many times, you know, just yesterday we debated a bill about the bags that you use when you go to the grocery store. And you know, let the if people don't want to use those bags, then the companies will figure that out. We had another bill about packaging and how much shipping goes into packing materials goes into our landfills. Well, I've argued that, you know, these manufacturers, when they're shipping their products to a large retailer or through the wholesale process, they're figuring out ways to load more into that truck, make it lighter, try to fit more product, and make it easier for them to manipulate the product throughout the system. So the point is that the free market, the companies will figure that out on their own. For small business, I would say, you know, just, you know, leave us alone. I mean, you know, it's hard enough to be in business. And I think the last thing I would say is the attitude. And, you know, I've gotten it so many times, Dan, people, you know, if I'm up in the legislature or somewhere and I say, you know, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a business owner. Oh, wow, you must be rich. You must be a wealthy guy. You must have a great car and a house and a pool and everything. It's not true. I mean, we're lying awake at night worrying about how we're going to keep our guys busy and how to make our payroll. And but we understand common sense, and we understand that you can't spend more than you make, and you have to, you know, monitor your budgets, and you have to, you know, make sure that people are happy with the product you put out. So I think it's very important that we change the atmosphere in Hartford and we change the attitude. It's because you can't, as I think it was Paul Tsongas when he ran for president many years ago as a Democrat, as a matter of fact, said you can't be pro-employee but anti-employer. It just doesn't work. So I think that's the culture we need to change.
What motivates you? I mean, you've got to balance your time between owning the business, you serve in the state legislature, you've got a family. How do you perform this juggling act?
Yeah, you know, certainly it's difficult. I think you have to be a type A personality. You know, that's number one. But for me, as you can imagine, being in retail, it works out okay because our busiest time is holiday time, the fall and winter, and there's typically not a lot going on in Hartford. When we slow down after the new year, that's, of course, when we ramp up in the legislature. So I'm able to make that work. You know, the balance is works out okay for me because of the timing of this calendar. But certainly it's very difficult. You know, you're anytime we are wasting time in Hartford is very frustrating to me being a business owner because, you know, I come to work, I tackle emails, I meet customers, I get my guys going, I meet with suppliers, pay my bills, do this, do that. You're go, go, go. You're accomplishing things. When we slow down up in the legislature and we're waiting for bills or we're waiting for amendments or just waiting for people to arrive, it gets very frustrating because you want to tackle things that are in front of you. And I think that's the biggest frustration for small business owners. I would also add, you're right, it takes us away from our businesses, and that's why you don't see many run for office. I mean, you've got, you know, myself, you've got Tony D'Amelio, who's a restaurant owner, you've got Salim Nujain, who's a manufacturer. We're small business owners that, you know, when any time we spend time for our constituents up in Hartford, we're actually taking away time from our own businesses.
Final question, best advice you could give somebody who wants to become a small business owner?
Don't do it. No, I'm kidding. Go into firefighting or something like that. You know, that's a good question. I would say that, you know, honesty and customer service is number one. You're not going to make money on every sale, certainly, but if you treat people right, they'll come back. And I think that's the most important thing, and that's what's given us our success for 22 years. That, you know, we didn't make money every time, but we took care of those individuals, and they certainly passed along that information to their friends because, as you know, you treat somebody right, they'll tell five people, but if you treat somebody wrong, they'll tell 25 people. So you always want to treat people right in any situation.
He is a state senator and also a business owner. Rob Kane has been our guest on Front and Center. Rob, thanks very much for joining us.
Always my pleasure, Dan.